Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
The new hack is credit unions. It's not the new hack, but people just, the name brand of these lending institutions have made people just only go to Chase, only go to American Express. But your local credit union actually wants to give you capital. They actually want to work with you, right? So understanding the local credit unions that are in your area are super important. Now, credit unions are very geo-restricted. The credit union in New York, only the people that live in New York, work in New York, or pray in New York, right, get access to it. But if you join the American Consumer Council, I think it's like 10 bucks, bro. You literally have access to literally thousands of credit unions that you can go nationwide now.
Imagine making the next big investment in your business without worrying about how you secure the capital to do it. Every day you're putting in the work. You clock in at your job, you stay up late to work on your business, you handle your family responsibilities, but hard work isn't enough to create financial freedom. Here's why so many entrepreneurs still feel stuck. Business credit approvals keep slipping through your fingers. The advice that you've been given doesn't match the results. And you've invested in yourself, but without having the right structure, it hasn't paid off. It's not that you're not capable, it's just that the path that you've been given is broken. That's why I created the Fast Track to Capital. It's a proven framework that entrepreneurs are using to boost their credit so that lenders can trust them, structure their business so that banks see them as credible, and access $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit so they can finally act on opportunities. This isn't about working harder. It's about applying the same structure that wealthy entrepreneurs have been using for years. So if you're ready to stop spinning your wheels and actually move forward, click the link above or below this video to secure your spot in the free masterclass, and I'll see you on the other side of success.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a father, husband, entrepreneur, investor, mentor, philanthropist, coach, public speaker, and business funding expert extraordinaire. He's the CEO and founder of Bella Sloan Enterprises, a company that to date is responsible for helping entrepreneurs and investors all across the country secure well over $100 million in funding and counting. From growing up the son of Haitian immigrants to now running a multi-million dollar empire, his story is proof that generational curses can be broken, legacies can be built, and impact can be cultivated when you have a vision that's larger than life and the work ethic to match. And whether he's teaching early stage entrepreneurs on how to turn a 700 credit score into $100,000 in funding, mentoring established entrepreneurs on how they can leverage that capital into cash flow, or simply just inspiring Black and brown communities alike through telling his story on platforms just like this, his mission remains the same: to show how everyday people can build purpose, profits, and passive income all through the game of leveraging other people's money. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, New York, by way of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I'm here with the one, the only, my good friend, Mr. Herman Dulce, better known as the Haitian CEO. What's going on, family? How are you?
I'm feeling good, bro. You should do that for a living.
You know, I'm at a point I got to start charging for it.
You're getting really good at it.
I got to start. This is my third time. I feel like third time's a charm.
Last time was good. This is pretty impressive. I was like, who's he talking about? He ain't talking about me.
Next time we got to come with the golden chandeliers, all of it, the bottles, rose petals on the floor.
Where are the girls at? Come on, bro. You got to step it up.
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on. Am I setting the record for the most times on the pod?
Not the most times, but you do Dang. Have the highest. But you do have the highest viewed episode to date.
As it should be.
You know what I'm saying?
What's the record for the most appearances?
Dereen probably got that. Dereen done been on here like 4 or 5 times.
You're kidding me.
Dereen done been on here 4 or 5 times. Yeah. Shout out to my guy Dereen. If you out there.
Shout out to D.
But once again, it's a tit for tat. Like, he's been on here more. It's quality over quantity. So he's been on here more times. But you got the most views.
All right, man. Let's see if we can break the record again.
It's not a matter of let's see. It's how much more views are we going to do to break the record
again. Let's get it.
Come on. Let's make it happen.
Let's get it.
What
are we talking about today?
Man, so much to discuss. Okay. Obviously, we have a lot to unpack around your expertise and around everything that's going on in the world of entrepreneurship and beyond. But There are, unfortunately, some people who are watching this episode who are unfamiliar. So I want to get them familiar. I did a solid job introducing
Everybody you. Doesn't know me?
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
That's wild.
You'd be surprised. That's Let's wild. Get them familiar. Who exactly is Mr. Herman Dulcy?
I got to step up my marketing. So I am Herman Dulcy, as you said, Herman Dulcy Jr., son of Herman Dulcy. I am born in Brooklyn, as you said. My family moved from Brooklyn when I was 10 years old, moved to the amazing city of Philadelphia. Go Eagles. And I've been there forever. So I'm repping Philly. And about almost 10 years ago, we started an amazing company called Bella Sloan Enterprises, named it after my firstborn daughter. And you know the game, bro. We all came up doing credit.
Yeah.
And then I tripped into funding and I haven't looked back since. And the funding and the credit combined, I realized that people needed to learn the information instead of me just doing it for them. So Bella Sloan Academy came into fruition, and we have amazing coaches and teachers that teach. Now we're teaching kids to financial literacy all the way up to adults, man, showing people how to start businesses, market their business, grow their business, fund their business. And it's been an absolutely amazing, amazing 8 years, bro.
I love it. Let's dive a little bit more into the before you became who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, what did life look like? You talked about starting the company 10 years ago.
Right.
But if we're going back however much farther as you would like.
Right.
What did life look like before the successful entrepreneur we see sitting on the couch here?
Poverty. I tell people, my parents prepared me for a world that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. So, Liglis, Likor, Lakai, right? That means go to school, come home, get an education, go to church. That's it.
Yep.
And it was like, yeah, if you get your degree, you'll be fine. If you get your master, you'll be fine, right? Psych. That's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to quickly understand and find a new path. And you know, I tell people all the time, audit your circle. That's a tagline that I have. Trademarked. And I had to audit my parents out of my financial circle because I wanted to become a millionaire. I wanted to have a successful business. I wanted to be financially free. And my parents were none of those three things. So I had to gain access to that information and to the people that had access to that information who were that. And once I did that, it changed the trajectory of my life.
Diving a little bit more into that, was there a specific moment, or was it a culmination of moments where you knew the traditional path of I'm gonna go to school, get a job, work till I die, when you realized that wasn't for you and there had to be something that was more?
I realized that when I went to Italy for my baby moon. So Janelle was pregnant with Bella, went to Italy, and we spent 2 weeks there, right? And we piecemealed it. I'm talking about we flew economy and we made sandwiches, right? Mm-hmm. Like it, but we experienced the trip and it was lit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met this dude on a train on the way to Pisa, and he had his parents with him. He had six children and they were taking on the same train, right? And I was, it's like their version of Amtrak, not like under the train. And I was like, and I was looking at him, I was like, this trip must be really expensive. Like, that's what I said to him. He's like, yeah, it is. So I was like, well, what do you do? He's like, oh, I own my own business. And I was like, aha, uh-huh. Right? And that just stuck with me and it resonated with me, right? Got off the train, had an amazing trip, got back, and I was telling my brother, I was like, he's like, how was the trip? I was like, yo, it was so lit. I want to be able to do that whenever I want to, though. I had to ask somebody permission to do this, right? And now that we took the 2 weeks, I don't have time to take off when Bella comes here, right? I have no time. So then my brother said his famous line that I always tell people about, unless you own your own, you'll never be free. So I was like, well, I'm going to do real estate like everybody doing on HGTV and social media, not Instagram necessarily at the time. He's like, well, he's like, that credit thing you do, right? You do for free for your friends and family. You should charge for that. And I was like, I'm not charging for that. Everybody needs that information. Like, we're really helping out people. He's like, nah, bro, they're going to pay somebody. They might as well pay you. Went and got the LLC, set it up. I asked a couple of friends, hey, let me fix your credit for free. Take the screenshots, post it on Instagram, and the rest is history.
Were those early days of entrepreneurship, because I, you know, social media glamorizes it and makes it seem as though you start a business today, you make a million tomorrow.
That's what happened.
Is that really?
No.
what was it for you, right? Because, you know, once again, people see who you are today, but once again, we're talking about over a decade in business. The lumps and bumps and bruises that come with that, especially earlier on, I think it's important for people to also know that as well. So what did those early days of getting into this space look like for you?
The key word is poverty. Yeah, that's the second time I said it. It was absolute abject poverty.
Right.
I was a social worker making $29,500 a year, and I was in $40,000 worth of debt. was not financially literate. So it was a tough time. I actually, the freedom component of it to become free was important, but the initial was to pay off the credit card debt. And then when people started paying me for my knowledge and to help them figure out, I was like, oh, okay, this is what's up. Not understanding business early, I quickly got myself a second full-time job. I didn't understand scaling. I didn't understand systems. I didn't understand hiring people, automations. I didn't understand those things 8 years ago. Right. So I'm coming home, and the more clients I'm getting, the more time I'm giving towards the business, as we talked about off camera, working in the business. So in the beginning, it was difficult. But, you know, here we are. I figured it out. I paid for mentorship. I went on YouTube University. I figured it out. I continued to grind. And now the business is flourishing, thank God.
By the grace of God.
By the grace of God, bro.
You said something key. You talked about the light bulb moment for you. Sounds like there was two. There was one where you were on the train in Italy.
Yeah.
But then the second one that really brought everything together was a conversation you had with your
My brother.
Where he kind of planted the seed for you to say, okay, I'm going to go all in on
right,
this.
Right.
I think that's interesting because most entrepreneurs are usually the black sheep of their family. Most
1,000%.
Entrepreneurs aren't usually fortunate enough, right, to come from situations where that was something they were born into, especially if you're of our culture and of our ethnicity. So when you're diving into this, being that you were the black sheep, you had support from your brother, but like you said, you were a married man expecting child. What are those conversations like with friends and family? Are they just as supportive as your brother was, or is it some contention there to where it's just like, I'm over here trying to build this thing up and, you know, mom's in my ear saying this, wifey's in the ear saying that, cousins, aunts, and uncles like, Herm, what are you doing? What did that look like?
No, it wasn't an easy transition. But remember what I said earlier, I wanted to be a millionaire. I wanted to be financially free. And none of these people who was giving me these opinions were that. So their opinions did not matter. My parents were not happy when I started the business. Not happy per se, but they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So remember I told you I was making $29,500, literally I was making $29,000 a year. I got my master's degree because I was still following my parental blueprint. My first job after my master's degree was $55,000 a year. Right. So it was still abject poverty because after taxes, it's like 30 grand. Right.
Did you have student loan debt?
And I had student loan.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I had student loan. $85,000 in student loan debt.
OK.
Shout out Temple and Lincoln University. Right. But again, their opinions didn't matter. But and actually, right after that, bro, I got my first mentorship. I learned how to test software for a living. Right. And after that mentorship, my first job was $100,000. Right. So quickly, I correlated mentorship and you have to learn before you can earn. I learned that quickly. I told you that long version of the story because when I first got the $100,000 job, my mom was like, oh, you made it. Right. Because that's the dream of any immigrant. My son makes six figures. I was at that job maybe 2 years and I was like, ah, I'm going to quit. My mom was like, I beg your pardon. I was like, yeah, I can make more money in my business. I was taking phone calls in the broom closet, like, yeah, Bellasone Enterprises, how can I be in service? Right? Now, I'm not telling everybody to go and quit your job, but I saved up. Remember, I paid off my credit card bills at this time, and I saved up a year's worth of bills. And then I decided to bet on myself. I watched this Gary Vee video, and this young guy came to me like, should I quit my job? He's like, yes. He's like, but you know anything about my situation? He's like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 24. He's like, quit your job. He's like, this time now, you're not going to be able to get back. You can always get another job.
Yeah.
Go out there and fail. So me, I was able to do it because I saved up my money. I went out there, I shot my shot, and I gave 40 hours a week to my business, and it's never been the same. So it was difficult in the beginning. But I had mentorship, I had guidance, I had a little nest egg, and I went all in on the business.
Was there a specific moment that you could think back to? We talked about the moment where it seems like there was these key checkpoints. So there was a moment where you knew it was time for entrepreneurship.
Right.
There was a moment where you knew it was time to go all in on entrepreneurship. When was the moment where it finally clicked? Like, all right, I'm finally going from struggling entrepreneur to it's like, no, like I got this. This is now not only keeping lights on, but I'm making a little bit of money now. I'm doing okay.
I would lie to you if I said there was a specific time, right? So let me tell you the journey about even quitting my job.
Let's talk about it.
So I went to Costa Rica with the fellas. We did a guide trip to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Had a time. Got back to Philly, was working at the software testing place, and I work in a cubicle. And literally, bro, I had anxiety working in a cubicle. My head started hurting. I felt the walls closing in. Like, I felt a physical reaction to being back at work. after being free for like 2 weeks. And I was like, I need to pray about this. So literally I started fasting, right? Mm-hmm. Fasting is key. Literally started fasting about it. 2 days into the fast, my man sent me that Gary Vee video I was just telling you about, mm-hmm. about yo, quit the job. And I was like, ah, that's a coincidence. Mm-hmm. My wife hits me up randomly the next day and was like, hey, I don't know why I need to tell you this, but I need to tell you this. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space.
Yeah.
And I was like, why'd you say that? He's like, I don't know. I was being obedient. I was told to tell you that. Mm. I quit my job the next day. I wrote my resignation letter and quit my job, put my 2 weeks in. You know what happened 24 hours later?
Talk to me.
God was like, didn't I tell you quit your job? I was like, I did quit my job. He's like, no, you didn't. You put your 2 weeks in. Mm-hmm. You put your 2 weeks in because you think you might need another job and you need a reference. He's like, quit your job. So the next day I brought in my laptop. I was like, I'm not coming back. They was like, you can't leave me hanging like this. I was like, I can't. You know what happened the next day after that? It was a Friday. My mentor called me. He's like, hey, I'm going to Florida. You want to come with me? And I was like, okay, sure. Got on a flight at like 6 a.m. We spent 12 hours in Florida. 6 a.m., flew out. She went to three banks. Regions, Chase, and another bank I can't remember. She raised herself $250,000 in funding in 1 day. And then we flew back home. So the obedience, right, allowed me to see something I ain't never see before.
Yeah.
And it was ball game after that. It was ball game after that, bro. I was like, you just raised $250,000 in a day. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah. And then she dumped it into some real estate and she's an amazing developer in Philly. And bro, that my life was never the same after that.
Powerful.
Wild story.
Powerful, powerful. So, I mean, once again, to get that context, fast forward to who you are today. Mm-hmm. Some would call you cut your teeth in this space.
Right.
You're here now today. And we were talking about a little bit off camera. There are some, if not all, that will call you the king of business credit. Is that a title that you accept?
That's for other men to give you titles. I would never give myself that title. I ain't gonna do that.
I mean,
now you gonna clip up this video, I'm gonna look crazy on the gram. And somebody, he calling himself the king of credit.
I'm just, listen.
If that's what they calling me, I guess that's what they calling me.
Listen, if they saying it.
I'm passionate about what I do, that's all.
Not only are you passionate about it, but you're true. But I mean, we said the number at the beginning, 100 million, that's a heavy number.
100 million, bro.
And I say that because, you know, especially in the day and age of social media that we live in, to dive a bit more into your expertise, you see it as well as I see it. There's so much misinformation that's being put out there online about what you do to where there's someone who's watching this that's been misguided. They've been ran amok, led astray when
right.
it comes to, okay, I have a food company, I have a consulting company, I have a marketing agency, I need money. Person A, person B, person C is all telling me different things about how to get access to the bag, but I have the man himself sitting across from me. So who better to unpack and give the game to than the man himself? So I'll ask you, we're in 2025 now, going into 2026. If I'm coming to Herman Dulcie and I'm saying, hey, I need access to capital and I need it now, what are the exact steps that I need to take to put myself in position to get anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 in capital?
All right. I'm going to answer your question.
Let's do it.
But before I do that, I want to give like a little intro first, because I realized something. The $100 million that I was able to help people get, I have to take accountability that I messed up a little bit.
How so?
Because it was so easy to get this money, especially like 2019, 2020, 2021. It was crazy. Like they were printing money. It was so easy to get this money. I helped a lot of, I don't want to be mean.
Say, I mean, you're on the Marvin Francois show.
Yeah, man, I helped a lot of idiots get this money, and people went and blew the bag.
Okay.
Right? Had no competency and just blew the money. So to answer your question on how to get $50,000 to $100,000, this is the first thing I'm going to say, and this comes from another one of my mentors, Storm Leroy. He says your job should be your first business partner, right? Whatever money you get from your job, you pay your bills, that leftover money, start your business with it. Your own cash and your own capital. Because people are always willing to blow other people's money, not their own.
Yeah.
That 500, that 1,000 you got left over, start your t-shirt company, whatever. Flip that 1,000, turn it into 1,500, turn it into 2,000. Then the next month, do it again. Then the next month, do it again. And do it again, and then again, and then again. Get really good at using your money. Now that you have perfected using your money, now you're going to go to your second business partner, American Express, Chase, Truist, Wells Fargo. Those are my business partners. Those are my secondary business partners, because now that I took this $1,000, I know how to flip it and double it. Imagine the gasoline that I can now put using business credit, $10,000, $25,000, $30,000. So I want to tell people that first, that credit can bury you, but credit can also elevate you. It's a double-edged sword and it could do amazing things. Now, in 2025, here's what's changed since the last time I've been on this show, right? The fundamentals are still the same. Your business needs to be structured properly. You need to have a solid business name. You need to have a business address, business phone number. You need to have a website. You need to look legitimate to the lending institutions.
Right.
It can't be your home address. An alternative for that is using a virtual address like Regis. The banks got hip to that. You can use a registered agent is another option to get your business phone number. You can go to ringcentral.com. You don't want your business name to be a high-risk industry, such as trucking, credit, funding, daycare, right? So you want to make sure all those things are structured properly. So those things are the same. Nothing's changed. Website, business email. What has changed, though, is that relationship banking is super important now. What that means is you just can't go to the bank and be like, hey, I got good credit. Let me get $25,000. It's changed now. They watch these podcasts, too. They're on Instagram too. They've changed their underwriting guidelines. So now they're going to watch this video too. So hurry up and run it up. But the having relationship with these banks are key now. They literally have internal banking scores now that they're monitoring. So now I tell my clients, you need to have a good credit score, good credit profile, 680 and above. Y'all already know that. You need to have a good structure with your credit profile. You need to have a couple of personal credit cards, because you're asking the bank for $50,000, but you have a Today's Man and a Victoria's Secret credit card that's $500. Grow up, be an adult. So you need to have a good credit profile. But that's none of your business structure properly. Now I'm telling people, like, hey, go to the bank, open up a business checking, business savings account, and make a deposit into it. Right? The short-term way to do it is make that deposit. How much, Herman? The more, the better. Right. If you could put 500, put 500, you could put 1,000, put 1,000. The money that's sitting in your savings account on the personal side is not really doing anything for you. Take that little $2,000-$3,000, put it in your business checking account, because that increases your banking score with that lending institution. So here's what's happening now. You have a good credit. Your business is structured properly. You open up a couple of banking products, business checking, business savings. That's two. You've made a deposit. You got a merchant account. That's where you swipe the cards. Now you have three products with them. Now when you go back to them in 30 days, yes, this is a long play. This is not overnight, because y'all messed up the situation. Now you go back to them in 30 days, be like, hey, I'd like to get some funding. And the rest is history. Now you're getting your $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, from these lending institutions. And you're ready to know about the stacking play. I'm going to go to an Equifax bank. I'm going to go to TransUnion Bank. I'm going to go to an Experian bank, get $25,000 from each of them. I'm up $75,000 in a day.
Let's dive a little bit more into that, because you talked about how the funding landscape has changed.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, you know, to call a spade, we do hold some level of credibility. We create platforms like this. People come on here and say, run this play, run that
play. Yeah, the hack.
Yeah, 24 and hours.
They eat it up.
They eat it up.
Because you're going to create, you're going to do a thumbnail and it's going to say, how do you get $100,000 in funding? And your face is going to be like this. And they're going to press play, bro. They're going to press play.
And you all know that Chase is also going to press play. Like, oh, word.
And Chase is going to press play. Wells Fargo going to play. Say, oh, he brought our name up.
Say that.
What are you saying?
And then it's ball game.
And then it's ball game.
You talked about building a relationship. So I want to kind of unpack changes that may or may not have happened. And you did a really great job kind of breaking down the importance of, like, hey, building a relationship now with these lenders is more important than it's ever
been.
When it comes to the application process, one thing we've always been told for a very long time is when you're applying, it's better to apply in branch versus online. Excuse me. Is that still a thing that is that still true to this day? Is it better going into 2026 for us to still be applying in branch? Can we apply online? Or does that not really make as much of a difference?
It does make a difference. And it's not necessarily applying in the branch. It's having a relationship with somebody in the branch.
Okay.
Right? So in my industry, we call them relationship managers. So, like, I never recommend to do it online. You can definitely do it online. You'll get something different. But just imagine you know somebody in there. In the underwriting process, they're going to be like, nah, I met Herman. I saw his website. I saw his business. He's a real person. You know what I'm saying? You could bump him over the minimum. Because, like, if you go to apply for Chase online, the max you can get is $20,000, $25,000.
Yep.
But if you have a relationship manager, if you know somebody in there, if you've built a relationship with the lending institution, it's $50,000, $60,000, $75,000.
Yeah.
Especially if you have financials, like, it goes crazy. So you can do it online. But remember, we're always giving the information that'll get people that extra 10, 20, 30% in funding.
Yep.
Structuring your business, optimizing your credit, having a relationship manager, making deposits, that's what's going to give you the higher credit limits in 2025 going into 2026.
Another thing you talked about, which I thought was super important, especially now that I'm starting to, you know, cut my teeth in the funding space as well, you talked about the importance of the profile on the personal side.
Right.
You made a quick joke talking about how, you know, you have, you know, Victoria's Secret cards and TJ Maxx's cards, but you want $100,000. It's so crazy to me. There would be times where I'll be speaking with individuals and they're like, man, I have a 700 plus credit score and I want to go to this bank. I've gone to this bank and this bank and I'm trying to get money and they won't give it to me. Mm-hmm. And right then and there, I'm like, pull your phone out, pull your credit card out, whatever you use. Let me go see. Ahead and look. It's like 8 kickoff accounts. It's a right. 3 self-lenders.
A TOMO.
It's a card from Target. I'm
authorized,
like, bro,
user.
You ain't doing nothing with this.
You ain't doing nothing.
Could you expand a little bit more on that? Because there's someone who's watching this right now that they're going to hear this and they're going to be befuddled that they see the number, but the profile don't match and they can't do any of the things that we're talking about because they don't have the context around how it's not just the number. It's so much more than that.
Right. That's because, and this is why my passion with financial literacy has since the last time we talked, has made me start to talk to younger and younger and younger people because we have 25, 30, 40 year old who have a 700 credit score, but they were taught credit was bad.
Yeah.
So they never got a credit card. They never had an age credit card. So the quick joke that I made about your credit profile is your credit is your adult report card. It lets lending institutions know how responsible you are with money and paying it back over a specific period of time. So if you've never done that all your life and then you're popping out because you saw somebody on Instagram got $50,000 in funding, you're like, how come he got it and I didn't? Mm-hmm. One of the major factors is because of your credit profile. You may have a 700 credit score because you've never been late on your Target credit card, which is not a major lending institution, and it's a $1,000 limit. Mm-hmm. Versus me or somebody else who has a 700 credit score, but they had a credit card for 5 years. They had another one for 2 years, and the limits are that on that is $5,000 or $10,000. That profile looks more credible to the bank, and I want everybody to start thinking like banks do. Who would you give more money to? Mm-hmm. Right? You just have a Target card. You have an authorized user. You're on your baby mom's credit card. You never took accountability as an adult, right? So I don't want to give you any money. So now I'm teaching people like, hey, get a trade line, hop on somebody's credit profile.
Yeah.
Join a credit union because credit unions are more lenient with getting money. Everybody knows about Navy Federal, but you know, just type in credit union and the zip code that you're in and it'll pull up all the credit unions in your area and run the same play on the personal side. Open up the account, make deposits, start a relationship. In addition to that, get your direct deposit to go into that lending institution's bank account, the credit unions, because now they see how much money you make, they see you're paying your bills on time, then you go to them for a credit card. That credit union is gonna give you your $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 credit card, but nobody wants to do the work. Yeah. Now you have to let it age for 6 months, a year, 2 years, because you didn't do this when you were 18, 19, 20, because you didn't get the information. Mm-hmm. So now that you let your profile age, the older the credit card, the higher the limit, the more money it transfers on the business side.
You said something that I thought was very interesting. You talked about since our last sit down, your passion for financial literacy has grown to where now you're speaking to more younger individuals. I've seen you post content where you're speaking at colleges and beyond. Mm-hmm. You've been in this space long enough to where you, when it comes to credit and funding, anyone of any age from individuals that are yay right. high to individuals that are old and, you know, well past their time, you've spoken to them about all things credit and funding. Mm-hmm. From your experience, what age group has been the hardest to have the conversation with about credit and funding? Has it been younger individuals who think they know it all and aren't interested about learning about credit and funding, or older individuals who are just so stuck in their ways where it's like, you want this, and I'm trying to tell you, these are the steps. You're just like, nah, that can't be it.
It's adults, bro. Mm. Adults burn me out. They're stuck in their ways, and it is what it is. And so I'm like, okay, I've already made it. Like, I already got millions in funding. Like, I don't care if you believe me or not.
Right.
You can say it's cap or people in the comments, you shouldn't be listening to an influencer. I don't listen to, I was about to say something crazy. I don't listen to poor or broke people. Like, I don't really care what your opinion is. Like, it is what it is, right? And poor or broke is a mindset when I say that, not necessarily money. But no, it's the adults that are more difficult. When I go to colleges, like I just spoke at Temple University, my alma mater, shout out to Coach Isaac. He's like, yo, can you come speak to the football team about funding and credit? And bro, they ate it up. Like, I was done the presentation. And they like pulled me to the side and had a million more questions. Mm. I go to high schools, had a million more questions. I go to little children's schools and I talk to them about not necessarily credit, but money and understanding how it works, yada, yada. They eat it up. Mm-hmm. But it's the adults who have 900 questions. I just posted something while I was in Paris the other day. I did a video about what my mentor taught me, where he talked about taxes, cost segregation, just high level conversation when it comes to money.
Yeah.
How to save money first, how to save X amount of money, 6 months of money first, mm-hmm. and then stop saving. And then invest, because people just save until the cows come home. But you have to stop and you have to invest at a certain time. So people are in the comments like, oh, it's hard out here. I can't save 6 months of salary. Yeah, you won't, because you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or you can ask, well, how do I save 6 months salary? How do I do that? Well,
because
I did it. How do you do it? Well, you can get a second job. Right. Because you're lazy and you're being broke. What do you mean you can't do it? Get a second job. Go Uber. Mm. Right. Go start a business, or adjust your. There's a great hack. Adjust your taxes, because a lot of people right now, this is going to be a great clip. A lot of people right now, bro, are waiting till January to get a big tax refund. $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000. And they're excited. No, you're an idiot. You just gave the United States government money. Right. And they held that money tax free for 1 year. Interest-free, excuse me, for 1 year. No, give me all my money all year long. That $10,000 could have went to my investments. It could have went to paying off a credit card, but you gave it to the government, and now you get a tax refund in January, and you think you up, and my Instagram is flooded for 90 days of everybody balling out, going to the club, and going to Ibiza, right? Poor mindset. One way where you can save some money immediately or pay down your credit card debt is adjust your W-2s. Mm. I don't owe the government money. They don't owe... they don't owe me money. Talk to your tax professional. Mm-hmm. So now I'm getting an extra $500, $600, $700 a month in my paycheck. I'm going to take that. I'm going to pay down my car faster. I'm going to pay down my credit card faster. Or I'm going to invest the money. Or I'm going to save the money. That's how you do it, mm-hmm. without having to get a second job.
What if the next time you heard from the banks, it was a $50,000 to $100,000 approval letter instead of another denial? You've been putting in the work, balancing your job, your business, and your family responsibilities. But here's the truth that most entrepreneurs never hear. Hard work alone is not enough to get the banks to say yes. Banks approve entrepreneurs who are structured the right way, and that's the missing piece that's been holding you back all along. We've seen it over and over again. Entrepreneurs who came to us who were stuck getting denial after denial got access to the right system, structure, and strategy that unlocked $50,000, $75,000, and even $100,000 credit approvals. And here's the real cost of waiting. Every month you go without having access to capital is another month where your opportunities are slipping into another business's hands. That's why we created the Fast Track to Capital, a free masterclass where we break down the exact steps needed to make yourself look fundable to banks so that you can access the capital needed to scale your business. We only do this training a limited amount of times per year, so if you're ready to secure your spot, click the link above or below this video so that you don't go another year without having the access to capital that your business needs.
You said something else that was key there. You talked about the mindset where, mm-hmm. it's just like, it's so much easier to speak with younger individuals, because with older individuals, they're either stuck in their way, or like you just talked about, a conversation as simple as like, hey, save 6 months.
Right.
And you see people bickering about.
Everybody got an opinion
about, yeah. Well, it's hard, the economy, this and that. From your experience, not even just around the conversation of credit, but just the conversation of money in general, from the people who just seem to not get it, or mm-hmm. seem to have the hardest problem when it comes to getting that financial foundation together, how big of a role do you think having a victim mindset plays in that? Because there's someone who is in your exact same situation, mm-hmm. when you were a social worker and you were expecting a child who's thinking to him right now, mm-hmm. who's thinking to himself, I can't,
mm-hmm.
but you were in that same exact situation and said, it's either this or it's nothing. How big of a role do you think victim mentality plays when it comes to, I guess, the difference between the person who was able to find their footing when it comes to getting themselves financially free versus, right. the individual that just can't get themselves over that hump?
Your mindset, right, is massive to this. And this is the part of the pod where it's always, where it gets cheesy and like, oh, and people fast forward. Mm-hmm. No, this is the most important part. If your mind isn't in the right place to go to the next level, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like I was brainwashed into what I knew before. So I had to unbrainwash myself. Because once I saw, you ever heard this line, it's easier to make 30,000 in a month than it is in a year. It's easier to make 30,000 in a week than a month. It's easier to make 30,000 in a day than it is in a week. That sounds crazy, right? Until you see it, right? So once I saw it, I was like, well, if you can do it, I can do it. All I need is the what? The information. And I can execute on the information. Yeah, it's impossible to save 6 months' salary if you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. But if you don't know, if you do know how to do it, it's actually very easy. It's impossible to make $1 million. Yeah, it's impossible to make $1 million if you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have the victim mindset, the poverty mindset, the broke mindset, I promise you it'll never happen. Whatever you say is truth, because the tongue is a powerful weapon. If you say it's impossible, it's impossible. If I say it's impossible, then it's impossible. Mm-hmm. If I say it's possible, then it's possible. So it's on you.
Swinging back to, because there were other, another component of the credit side, you talked about just addressing a lot of the changes that happened. You mentioned something key. You talked about credit unions. Understanding, I guess, the different types of banks and lenders that individuals are able to leverage when they're, if they are in need of money, is there a difference between credit unions versus, let's say, like regional banks per se, versus like the big dogs that we know of,
right,
when it comes to Chase, when it comes to how we're working with them to get access to capital, or is it all the same across the board?
So I don't just stack credit cards, right? Meaning I go to TransUnion Bank, Equifax Bank, and Experian Bank, so I get one inquiry per credit report, and then I get my $10,000, $30,000 in funding, 0% interest, right? I stack different lending institutions, meaning I'll go to a national bank like Chase. I'll go to a regional bank like KeyBank and Truist. Regional banks are banks that are different pockets of the country, but are not nationwide banks like a Chase, which, or Bank of America, that's everywhere. The real hack, right? I hate using that word now, because all influencers say that word. I hate the word influencer too, but the new hack is credit unions. It's not the new hack, but people just, the name brand of these lending institutions have made people just only go to Chase, only go to American Express. But your local credit union actually wants to give you capital. They actually want to work with you, right? So understanding the local credit unions that are in your area are super important. Now, credit unions are very geo-restricted, meaning the credit union in New York, only the people that live in New York, work in New York, or pray in New York, right, get access to it. But if you join the American Consumer Council, right, I think it's like $10, bro, that small investment.
Yep.
You join the American Consumer Council, you literally have access to literally thousands of credit unions that you can go nationwide now. One good one is called Justice Federal Credit Union, which is out on the West Coast. I really like them. You just need to donate like $10 to their police department or something like that. And now you're able to get capital at that bank, bro. You can get 3 credit cards with only one inquiry. If you get the credit cards in a 30-day period, you get access to that type of lending institution now, because everybody can't get into Navy Federal because it's like a secret society. Nobody want to give up their code anymore. But but understanding that going to different credit unions now is a new way to raise capital. These small little banks that you've never heard of, but now you have access to them because you joined the American Consumer Council.
Another buzzword that we hear float around in the space are, and I've heard you kind of talked about it, I think, earlier, but there's two in particular. There's foreign entities, and then there's shelf corporations. So both are a form of entity, and I guess both are, from what I understand, strategies you could use to put yourself in position to get access to capital. Can you explain the difference between the two, and how do I know as an entrepreneur which one that I may potentially need to look into if I want to get access to capital?
So, so you know, everybody knows what your business entity is. For argument's sake, LLC. Everybody know what LLC is. A shelf corporation is people who understand that, hey, if this piece of paper, this LLC or this shelf corporation, is over 2 years old, it's the secret code to getting access to higher levels of capital because the business is older. So some people will go out there and they'll buy shelf corps from certain people. Please be careful when you do that. Some people are really scammy, so please go to a responsible place, right? So now combine that, a 2-year-old business with their LLC, now I'm getting $100,000, $150,000 in funding. A foreign entity is if my business is based in Pennsylvania, but there's a credit union in Texas that I would love to get business funding from, but they won't let me because my business is in Pennsylvania. I will file a foreign entity with the Secretary of State of Texas, which now gives me the right to do business in the state of Texas. So now I have access to those lending institutions in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. So I could bring my LLC there. I could bring my foreign entity there and I can go get capital. So now I'm opening the doors of the different lending institutions that I can get access to, even though they're in a different state.
So this is where the conversation gets interesting, because you talked earlier about you kind of feel bad because you've given out the information and mm-hmm. some people have done good with it and some people have
done bad with it. Right.
So you're in an interesting scenario now because you've helped individuals secure 50, 100, 250. The list goes on and on. And you've seen both sides of the coin where you've seen people go on and do tremendous things with the money and the not so good side of it. What separates the individuals who you've been able to help get access to funding that have gone on to multiply it versus the individuals who've gotten the funding and just completely blew it?
Mindset and information. So the same poverty mindset, because, bro, there's certain things, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to get it, right? There's no stopping you. So if you have a 700 credit score, you have a good profile, you're getting the 25, 30,000. But if you don't have the knowledge and information, you're going to blow it. If you're not financially literate, you're going to blow it. So having a good mindset and the information, good mentorship, those are people that turn 25,000 into 50,000. They turn into 75,000. People are not afraid to invest back into themselves, mm-hmm. whether they use their time by going on YouTube University, because you're going to pay. You're going to pay with your time, or you're going to pay with your money.
Yep.
Or you're going to take that capital and you're going to invest it into a mentor who's been there before and going to fast pass you to get to that next level. So those are the two things that really delineate to me the people who are successful once they get the capital.
Let's dive a little bit more into that, because we talked about getting the capital, but obviously we're not getting this money so that we can just post cards on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You're getting it, I would hope, with some type of a purpose to make more money.
To make more money, right.
You made a post on your social the other day where you talked about, you know, some of the best investments you personally have made yourself. Mm-hmm. One of them, of course, was investing into your business. From your personal experience, what would you say is the best investment, whether it was something that you've leveraged business credit to make into your business or just your own personal means? But what was the best investment that you've made in your business that was able to help you go from the six-figure mark to the seven-figure mark and beyond?
It's reinvesting the money back into my business. Now you made it easier. Once you said taking it from six to seven, once I hired people that were smarter than me, that's when it went to the next level. So my current CEO of my business, shout out to Damaris, right? She used to work at Amazon. So logistics was kind of like her thing. Mm-hmm. Automations were her thing. Streamlining was her thing. When she took that and brought those systems into Bella Sloan Enterprises, literally that year, we went from six to seven.
Wow.
Right? And she's not cheap. Mm-hmm. Right? And then so she's not cheap. And the systems that she brought in weren't cheap. Right. But the business is automated now. She's brought in even more people. Like, we've grown, like, we probably have like 20 people now. Right. That help run the company. We have a social media person. We just talked about Kai. I got a videographer.
Yeah.
Even the security is part of the team. Right.
Right.
So bringing these people in that know better than me in different spaces is what taking the business to another level. Like, I can give a shout out to a new consultant that we brought onto my company, Charles Schwartz. Right. Mm-hmm. He's giving me access to knowledge, information, and rooms I wouldn't have access to before. Mm-hmm. Like, I spent a couple of days in Kentucky right after InvestFest. He called me. He's like, hey, I got a billionaire I want you to meet. You available? I'm canceling everything. I'm coming to Kentucky. Absolutely. Like, I canceled my flight to Philly and I went to Kentucky, spent 3 days with this billionaire, and my life has not been the same. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's because I invested that money back into my business, back into mentorship, that has taken me to the another level. I could tell you, hey, I put it into real estate, or I bought this and I bought that. No, investing it back into my business and investing it back into my mind, the return on investment is absolutely infinite.
If you had to, so if we took business, we took relationships, and we took mentorship, and we had to put them in order for you personally, in terms of the things that you've invested in that's given you the greatest return on investment, in order from highest ROI to least highest, what would that order be? So business, relationships, mentorship.
Business, invest back in the business, relationship, or mentorship. It is relationship.
That's number one.
Mentorship, and then the business.
Okay, break that down.
So You know the thing, your net worth is your net worth, yep. Right? So I just described Charles Schwartz introducing me to a billionaire, mm-hmm. right? And he told me this crazy story. He's like, yo, how much you paid in taxes last year? And I gave him a number. Let's just say it was $10,000. Mm-hmm. I paid $10,000 in taxes. He's like, what you get for it? And it was like a trick question. I was like, what do you mean? I didn't get anything for it. He's like, exactly. Mm. Because he's a billionaire. His mm-hmm. tax, he's like, I paid less in taxes than you did. Right. And here's what I got for it. He's like, I got a hotel. Mm. I got this 100 unit in Texas. I'm like, what do you mean? Because what you're going to pay that money. Right. Mm-hmm. So say for the bill was $100,000. You can give it to the government or you can put $100,000 down on $1 million property. Mm-hmm. And now you get the cash flow from that property, the depreciation and all the benefits of having that real estate. And now your problem gets bigger and bigger in terms of your tax bill. But what are you going to do? Now my tax bill is going to be $250,000 because I got this big real estate thing. Now, instead of paying taxes, you're going to buy more real estate or you're going to invest it back into your business. Mm-hmm. I got that information. So with that information, he was like, hey, Herman, I'm buying a hotel. You want parts? Absolutely, I want parts in that. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what we're talking about offline. You bought a hotel? Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I had access, my network became my net worth. Right. So because I was connected with somebody like that, he put me onto that deal. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, oh, people see the things you're doing right now, like, hey, how'd that happen? I have relationships now. Mm-hmm. Right. So my business grows because of the relationship that I'm in, not necessarily the investing that I'm doing. The second tier is mentorship. For me to have gotten to the level to be in the rooms, to have that network, I had to pay, right? And people refused to do that, mm-hmm. right? Cool, more for me. So I had to pay to get into rooms. I had to pay for mentors' time, right? Because the math doesn't make sense when people think about it. So if a millionaire, somebody that makes $1 million a year, right? That's like $7,000 an hour, $5,000 an hour. And you tell them, hey, can I pick your brain? Can I take you for a cup of coffee? Oh, let me get this straight. You want me to stop running a 7-figure business, right? Making $1 million a year so you can pick my brain? Mm-hmm. Who's that fair to? Who wins in that situation, right? So I had to respect those people's time. Hey, what's your mentorship? Mm-hmm. Like, let me learn from you. Do you do mentorship? I'd love to take your mentorship. So I paid for it. And I got great return on investment for that because I paid for somebody's time. And lastly, investing back into the business, putting money back into the business is super important to make the business grow, because the ghetto thing to do is to take the profits and to post watches and all that stuff on Instagram. That's what people love to do because they never had money before and they don't know what to do, right? Cool. No, invest that money back into your business so your business can scale, it can grow, and you can take yourself out the business. Mm. If I had known that a long time ago, I wouldn't have been working in the business for a long time. I would have hired Damaris 10 years ago. Yeah. Well, 7 years ago instead of waiting so long to do it.
Mm. So much to unpack there. So much. Let's go bit by bit.
All right.
First, let's talk about you bringing Damaris into the business, because that's very important. The hardest thing for most entrepreneurs to do when it comes to scaling, especially in the early stages, and I'm sure you've seen it, is bring people in. Mm-hmm. Because for so long, you probably had to run the business with a vice grip on every department.
Every department.
And now it's like, I got to spend money to bring this person into my baby, my treasure. And mm-hmm. it's like, you're trying to get here and you're trying to do it yourself.
1,000%.
But it's just not going to happen. What was that experience like for you? And is that something that you find your mentees deal with, to where you have to coach them around that? Like, what does that process look like of getting yourself there mentally where it's like, no, I have to hire this person?
It's extremely difficult. It's not easy. This was just a 30-second soundbite on a podcast. The implementation of Bella Sloan is literally my kid's name.
Yeah.
And I'm handing that company over to somebody. No one you hire is going to care for your business as much as you do.
Facts.
And Damaris loves my company. Mm. Right. And she works late all the time. Like, she takes care of it like it's her baby, but it's not her baby. It's nothing like it was mine. It was very difficult for me to hand her the keys. Like, I would still check the emails and respond to the emails. And she would call me like, stop effing responding to the emails. I got it.
Right.
Right. So if I ran a business at 100%, she ran it at 80, 85 with love and compassion. No one's going to do it as much as you do.
Yep.
And as the levels of the business go lower, people are just there to do their job and go home, mm-hmm. right? And you have to understand that and expect that. But you have to do that in order to step away from the business and ensure that you hire competent people. Gary Vee said this one time. He was like, the reason why we're struggling in business sometimes because we don't know how to fire fast. You know that 90-day probationary period people go through? Nah, you don't need 90 days. We don't do that at Bellstone Enterprise. You probably got like 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah. Because I see immediately if you got it or not.
Yeah.
I don't need 90 days. The 90 days is the ego of the hiring manager giving you chance after chance because you clearly made a bad hire. Mm. So you need 90 days to train and fix out. No, 2 to 4 weeks, I can tell by your character. Hire character, train skill. I don't really care about your skills. I can train you to do what we do at Bellisphone Enterprises. Because, yeah, you used to work at Chase. Now you're at Wells Fargo. We do things a little bit differently here. I don't care what you did over there. I'm going to hire character, and then I'll train skill later.
Powerful. Powerful. Another thing you talked about, which I think context is important, you talked about for you the highest ROI in order, if I heard correctly, was in terms of investing, relationship, mentorship, and business. I would not challenge that, but I would contextualize that by saying I think that it changes depending on where you are in your entrepreneurial journey.
1,000%.
So I would say some people would hear that and say, okay, I got to go invest in all my relationships. But if you're starting at ground zero, you, number one, probably aren't a person that's valuable enough.
You have to invest back into your business, right? You're absolutely right. So that's very true, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
That's facts.
So it's either you're investing into your, I wouldn't even say business. I would say really investing into mentorship, because I learned earlier on in my journey, and I don't know if you would agree with it, but investing into mentorship gave me the skill set to become a person of value to where I could now pour that back into the business, to where now I'm valuable, my business is valuable. Now it makes sense for me to pour into relationship.
Right.
Right. Because now people want to work with me. Like, I have this platform. Once upon a time, this platform wasn't what it is today. So it didn't make sense for people to come to me with certain opportunities they come to me with back then. But I invested into mentorship and in my business, to where now I'm able to present myself to where it's like, okay, I'm attractive to the marketplace.
Correct.
So I would say that to the audience as well, because the last thing you want is somebody hears this is just like, all right, Herm said I got to invest in, I got to invest in relationship. And it's just like,
that's Ninja's favorite line. Herm said,
you know what I'm saying? And they take it and run with it. And it's just so much more context that's needed. I want to talk more about the investing in mentorship component, because I think of the three, that's the one that our community struggles the most with. You see it all the time, where people go back and forth online about, does it make more sense? Why would I pay somebody online $5,000 and that same person is tied to hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt for a degree that isn't making them any money? Why do you think that we as an individual, as a people, still struggle with the concept of, I'm going to give this person $5,000, $3,000, $10,000 to help me get where I'm trying to get faster?
You want to know where you find the poorest and brokest people?
Talk to me.
In the comment section. And all I do is just watch them, bro. And it's fascinating, because people who've made it, they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
I invested in myself. I got a mentor.
Yep.
I paid for it. I studied. I worked. They all say the same thing. Mm-hmm. The comment section, I ain't giving nobody. Cool. And you said the most important thing there, but you have no problem giving Temple University, New York University, you have no problem giving them $50, $60, $100,000 to get a teaching degree where you're making $50,000 a year, $30,000 after taxes.
Yep.
Think about that math. Mm-hmm. You do the ROI on that.
Yeah.
Right. More for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue too much about it. Right. I'm not going to argue with you about taxes and insurance, and everything is a scam. Mm-hmm. And I feel unfortunate to my people in this space, because they did get scammed. Mm-hmm. We have to keep it real. People out there really scamming and stealing from our people. They're stealing and taking advantage of the little hope that they have. And when you scam, and when you take from people like that, it's a generational thing, because they're going to teach their kids the same thing. Oh, credit is a scam. That's a scam. Oh, he's just an influencer. Okay, cool. Because people really are just selling courses, bro, and they don't know anything.
Facts.
And it's unfortunate. But I still got to challenge the people that you have to push through that, because on the other side of that difficulty and adversary is hope. Mm-hmm. There's freedom and there's profits.
Yeah.
I'm an example. I'm not your competition. I'm your example that it can be done. So I can only speak from that space, and they can only speak from their space of poverty, and argue in the comment section with other idiots.
I want to take a step back, to take two steps forward. That was a great point. I gave you a list of all your different titles: entrepreneur, philanthropist, beyond. But you're a husband, and you're also a father.
Mm-hmm.
You have two kids. Mm-hmm. We have one of your children's books here, which we'll talk about in a few.
Uh-huh.
Bella Sloan and Olivia Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
You're fortunate enough to where you've been on both. You've trailed both tracks, the traditional route of school, work.
I've done both sides of it.
Mm-hmm. You've been on the entrepreneurial side. Knowing what you know now as a father of two young queens that are growing up, do you see yourself, is it going to be a scenario where once your daughters become of age, it's like, you're not going to college, you're not wasting your time, you're going to get into business? Or is the conversation more so around like, I mean, they can't go to college, they can't start a business? What does that look like? Has that been something you've already started thinking about?
So I've been that has been a difficult thought process.
Talk to me.
Because I've done both sides, so I know both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I don't feel like arguing with people about whether college is more important. We already talked about the math, because it's math. I'm at a math position right now, yep. right? You're going to invest. A college education is $50,000 to $150,000. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee. There's no job placement, mm-hmm. right? So you're almost a quarter million in debt. And you have to get a car. You have to get an apartment. Like, you have to live. Now you're $500,000 in debt, but you're making $50,000 to $60,000 to start. Maybe that math don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Right? My children now, they have an advantage of their father understanding money, mm-hmm. understanding credit,
yep.
understanding how to leverage it. So, like, right now, I'm building up assets for my kids. So when my kids are 18, all right, I got these 5 properties for you. Mm. They were in a trust. You get the cash flow. So when my kids are 18, they're going to have $10,000-$20,000, mm. right? So my kids, guess what they have? They have options, mm. right? They could come and learn the business and grow it into a multi-million-dollar business and then hire smarter people than them who went and got the degree mm-hmm. and pay them $50,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they can go that route. Or there is something about going to school, getting an education, and finishing something. Mm-hmm. There is something about the relationships and the experience that you get from going to Penn or going to Harvard or going to Dartmouth. Relationships matter. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but my children will have the option and I will give them an educated decision on both. You got a business here, I could come and teach you how to run it that you won't learn at UPenn, right? But you can go and be an artist or a teacher because you have options, because money is not a thing for you. Mm. So you can go to school and study history or whatever. No shade to my history majors, right? But they'll have options and we'll see what they decide.
To dive a bit more into that, it's funny you talked about creating options for your children. I actually read 2 statistics before our interview today. One of them said that only about 30% of families successfully transfer wealth mm-hmm. from the second generation, mm-hmm. and by the third generation, nearly 90% of inherited wealth is gone. Mm-hmm. And then there was another stat that said that over 60% of Black and Latino families or Latin families in 2025 have no estate planning documents in place mm-hmm. at all. So you talked about passing down, which is a very common conversation that we hear on platforms like this. Oh, generational wealth. Well, doing this today for my kids to eat tomorrow. But the numbers say that most people aren't even doing the work in our community to put themselves in position to actually make that happen. What are the different things that you have done or are currently doing to make sure that not only are you passing down the assets, mm-hmm. but also, once again, this, right? To make sure that they're in position to not only get it, but also multiply it.
Hiring the right people. Mm. I got to say that again. So that's really important what you just said, because everybody get on platform and they say the cool words: generational wealth, business funding, credit, real estate. They're not saying trust. They're not saying life insurance. They're not saying family office.
Yep.
They're not saying attorneys. For those people who watch Power, when James St. Patrick died, in order for his son to get the capital, the trust said he had to finish school, right? And then you get X amount, right? So how my business is structured, I won't give too much, right? But I gave you some keywords. Go look it up.
Yeah.
There's an attorney, right? That protects this. There's a law firm that protects this.
Yep.
If something happens to me, the millions of dollars in the life insurance policy goes to the trust. Mm-hmm. The trust then invests that money into whatever it is going to invest in. Let's say, for instance, it's insurance, right? Like the Rockefellers do. And it's going to give my kids a dividend, right? Part of the rules with the dividend is that the dividend is going to pay for the life insurance of my kid, right? So that when they die, because they will, that money is going to go into the trust or the family bank. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to continue to roll and continue to get bigger and bigger. And everybody's just going to live off the dividends. Right. But that has to be put in writing.
Yep.
A law firm, a family office, insurance got to be put in play. All that stuff has to be put into play so that you have access to the capital, but you're not going to blow it.
Come on.
Because I'm controlling the wealth from the grave, because there's certain things that I put into place.
Mm, powerful.
You've seen people post their 50K approvals online, but have you ever wondered why it hasn't happened for you yet? You're clocking in at your 9-to-5, you're building your business after hours, you're even stacking your 401k and setting money aside for investments. So on paper, you're doing all the right things, but here's the problem. Growth feels slower than it should, opportunities keep passing you by because the capital isn't there, and you start wondering if building a real legacy for your family is even possible. It's not about effort or commitment, because you've already proven that you have both. The missing piece is having the proper structure. That's why inside of our free masterclass, The Fast Track to Capital, I'm going to show you a step-by-step process on how entrepreneurs just like you are securing $50,000 to $100,000 in capital safely without wasting years on trial and error. So if you want to secure your seat, click the link above or below this video to save your spot and don't keep grinding without the structure that gets real results.
You talked earlier about meeting a billionaire, mm-hmm. and that ultimately inspired you to purchase a hotel. Mm-hmm. You're in a position now that most people are working towards where you're not just having conversations with 6- and 7-figure business owners.
Right.
You're having conversations and in rooms, rubbing shoulders with individuals that are doing multiple millions, if not billions. Can you think to, you mentioned one quick quip about that conversation you had that ultimately prompted you to purchase the hotel. Can you think of another conversation that you may have had, whether it's with that person or whoever, that caused a mindset shift for you to help you understand that you've been playing the game okay, mm-hmm. but there's a whole other game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you said that. I got to pull out my phone.
Let's do it.
I feel like you set that up really nice. So another one of my mentors, he gave me a gem. Mm-hmm. I got to read it out loud.
Let's do it.
All right. And this is how I've been running my business. Of course, it's going to be hard to find. Give me a second, bro.
Take your time, brother.
Give me a second, because I posted it on my socials, and he was like, I hated the way you posted it. All right. Credit mm-hmm. unlocks access. Mm-hmm. Access unlocks capital. Capital unlocks deals. Deals unlocks circles, and circles unlocks wealth.
Break that down.
Okay. So credit unlocks access.
Yep.
If you don't have money, come on.
What are we talking about here?
What are we talking about?
Yep.
Right? So the credit or that money, it gives you access to knowledge, mentorship. It just gives you access to certain things. Access gives you, unlocks capital.
Yep.
Now that I have this access to these different lending institutions because I have good credit, now I can get some capital. The capital unlocks deals. Now I can invest in whatever. Like, oh, you got a deal here? This business is for sale. I could invest in this crypto. I'm getting access to these deals now I couldn't get before because I didn't have capital.
Yep.
Deals unlock circles. This is where I'm going right now in my wealth journey, right? Now that I have access to these deals, the circles and the places that I'm in right now, they're doing the same deals that I am because they're like, hey, what are you doing here? Mm. Right? Because I was able to get mentorship from my guy, Charles. He's like, yo, let me introduce you to this billionaire. Now this billionaire has access to these deals that he's giving me access to now. I would have never known about, I could purchase a hotel for the low.
Yeah.
Right? I could use that to write off and mitigate my taxes. And now those circles give me access to wealth. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in a relationship with a billionaire, mm-hmm. right? He's giving me access to the wealth game. So that 3 days that I spent with him, I go back to the comment section and see the poverty mindset. And he's not even on social media. He's like 300 followers, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm having conversations with him and I'm looking back at my people who I'm trying to put on, arguing about whether mentorship is worth it or not, arguing about whether I should go to college or not.
50-50.
Right, but this guy is literally doing $100 million deals.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't save everybody. Mm. You can't save everybody. So that was another gem that somebody gave me, how credit takes you all the way to the journey of wealth.
At this stage in your entrepreneurial journey, what would you say is your North Star? Because you've accomplished so much, but I'm sure there's still so much more you want to do.
I'm not a billionaire yet. Mm. I'm not a billionaire yet. So the goal is to become a billionaire. And if I don't make it, I'll probably trip into $100 million. We'll see what happens. Mm. But that's the goal, right? I like to set what some people think is an unrealistic goal, mm. right? Front and back. And I start checking them off, right? Bit by bit. I'm going to make $1 million. Made $1 million. I'm going to make $2 million. I want to make $5 million. I want to set up a trust. I want to save $10 million. I want to buy a hotel. I want to buy a 500 unit. So just keep writing these big goals because every day I got something to do.
Yeah.
And those are just the business goals. But I also want to be a better parent, better brother, better husband. You know what I'm saying? I want to be better to the people around me. Mm-hmm. I want to be a better servant to Christ because I'm really terrible at it. But every day I wake up, all right, you gave me another day. All right. We see what we can do. So I want to be better in these things every single day because every single day I have the opportunity to be 1% better. And I learn so much every day, bro. Mm. And now that I learned so much, I have two girls that I have to deposit things into. So I learn more about spirituality, learn more about money, learn more about wealth, and I have to teach it to them daily.
So when you become a billionaire, would that make you the first Haitian? Have we ever had a Haitian billionaire?
Unfortunately, there is a Haitian
billionaire. Unfortunately, it's crazy. Bro, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I wanted it to be
salty.
I wanted to be.
But you wouldn't be number one then.
No, I'd be number two.
Who? I got to do my research.
Like, you Google it. Like, I seen it on the internet. I was like, this is a Haitian billionaire? Haitian billionaire. I'll be the second. I'll be the first Haitian American billionaire.
There you go.
That's the vibes.
There you go. Come on. The first Dulce to become
a billionaire. Come on.
When you become a billionaire, what kind of, and people look back on the legacy that you're leaving because you would still be alive to reap the fruits of that. What do you hope that looks like? What are the conversations around the legacy that Herman Dulce is leaving once he becomes a billionaire and beyond?
Oh, I'm out of here, bro. Let's discuss the billionaire thing. When I become a billionaire, you won't know. I can't wait.
It's not going to be a post on the gram?
Hell no.
It's not going to be a party?
I can't wait for people to be like, oh, Herm fell off. Where'd he go?
Mm-hmm.
My inner circle would know. Oh, he made it. He's out of here. So when I do become a billionaire, there probably will be a post because I did it. I reached a goal. Again, is to let you know that it is possible.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that day, and hopefully I can buy a team or something like that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And then also, we see it here, but I can't.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about a bit about the book.
Olivia's ABCs of Credit by Herman Dulce Jr. and Olivia Monroe. It is a book me and my daughter wrote because I told you financial literacy has taken me lower and lower. Like, I got to get into the hands of younger people. This is an Amazon international best-selling book in 5 different countries. This is one of my proudest achievements, where it serves 2 purposes. So, like, when you read the book, A is for APR, B is for balance, C is for credit, D is for debt, E is for Equifax, F is for FICO, and it just goes on and on, right? So we're teaching kids about credit, wealth, financial literacy. But also, certain parents don't know what Equifax is. So they're learning, too. So the glossary in the back of the book where it'll show them, like, O is for outstanding balance. S is for statement date. What does that mean? Let's go to the back of the book and read it together. So it's giving financial literacy to the kids and to the adults. It's one of my greatest achievements. And this is actually one of my legacies. Like, Herman wrote a book. This is some of the fingerprints that I'm going to leave on this planet.
I love it. As we start to close, last question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were sitting in your seat where you are, and sitting across from you was Herman 10 years into the future,
mm-hmm.
He plopped in time machine. He only had 30 seconds to speak to you. What do you think he would say?
Fail quickly. Hurry up and mess up. Start that business. Lose the money. Date that girl. Just fail quickly. Because the faster you fail,
mm-hmm.
the faster you become successful, the faster you learn, right? We slow walk this life game, right? Hurry up and figure it out. Get mentorship a lot sooner. Because even right now, my age of 44, I'm still paying for mentorship. I'm literally $1 million in, right? Of learning from different people. The tax of my ignorance is hundreds of millions of dollars. Because I didn't know this information earlier, I'm way behind. I could have made a lot more money faster. If I had hired Damaris 3-4 years sooner, I would have made 7 figures sooner. I would have been in different rooms that had access to different rooms a lot sooner. So hurry up and fail quickly so you can reach your goals a lot faster.
Herm, thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate you, man.
Your camera here. Let the people know where they can find you and what you got going on, man.
Listen, what do I got going on? I got everything going on. You need your credit fix. You need funding. You need mentorship. I'm here for you at Bellasone Academy. You can definitely check us out at BellasoneLLC.com. Follow me at Haitian_CEO on Instagram. That's the personal page. The business page is Bella_Sloan_Enterprises on Instagram. And check out the YouTube page, Bellasone Enterprises, where we have long form content. And we gave a lot of information for free for you to learn information about credit, wealth, funding, and all of the above. And we look forward to being of service.
My guy, I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me again, bro.
More importantly, I appreciate each and every single one of you guys. If you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to go ahead, hit that like button, show the episode some love, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back and rewatch this episode again. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That is the always incredible Mr. Herman Dulce. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace, family.